This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the podcast, the home episode. I'll be your host of this here podcast, D. Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up in the top corner to the left of me goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
What's happening, everybody? Thank you for joining us. Pumped to be here. Tuesday night, you know, the boys are back in the lab. Let's do it.
Doing it. Back there getting all the studios set up, recording everything. Matt Conner, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted, I have no idea what's going on with the stocks in the last, like, 36 episodes, so I'm just out here, you know, wheeling and dealing and getting advice from Wall Street bets.
People have from Reddit have reached out. They're thinking about making our stock the next GameStop.
Man.
Dude, I'm not your financial advisor. All I can tell you is we're a buy and hold type of outfit, so... I would say if you go long, there's going to be some highs, there's going to be some lows on this cast, but you'll do all right.
Is there anything, I didn't even have this on the list, but is there anything funnier than all the hedge fund people getting so salty? Like, wait a minute, this isn't fair. Like, oh, not fair now, huh? Well, they're playing by the same rules.
Yeah, dude. And you know, that's the thing too, is like they've been playing by those rules and crushing people for, you know, 30 years, at least really in the last 20 years. I mean, even how they got involved in this thing, you know, two of those VC funds pay Robinhood to give them people's trades before they put them in so that they can front run them. I don't know if you guys are familiar with front running, but I mean, they make money just by using the data of everyone else trading. So like they literally have like a systemic advantage.
Yeah. So,
wow. Okay. I think I have an idea what you're saying. It sounds super shady. Not surprising. Now,
what I'm saying, Matt, is let's say that Ted works at the market. Okay. And I'm your broker. So I'm like the intermediary. You tell me, you're like, hey man, I want to buy 100 shares of Microsoft. I'm like, oh yeah, cool, buddy. I got you. I'll give Ted a call. I'll put in your 100 shares. Instead, I call up Ted and I'm like, yo, Ted, I personally want to buy 1,000 shares. And he's like, okay, order put in. And I'm like, oh yeah, can I also get 100 shares for Matt? Now that the price, I know the price is going to go up when your shares go in. So that's what they do, except they do it a couple of 100,000 times a week.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, it's called high frequency trading.
And that's the other thing with like the Wall Street bets is like a lot of these people are in their early 20s, right? They were children when the crash of 08 happened and they saw their parents technically do the right thing and this and that and just got crushed. It's like they're pissed.
They've been plotting.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Years. It's a rigged game. I mean, you've heard, Ted, we've talked about this, I don't think on the podcast, but that's why I didn't go to Wall Street. I mean, like that was the type of program I was in. And those guys are crooks, man. There are some legitimate people on Wall Street, but I would say in general, there's this book called Where Are the Customer's Yachts? And that pretty much sums it up. You know what I mean?
Where are the like customer's yachts?
Yeah. All the guys working on Wall Street have yachts and all the customers are out of luck. And it's like, yeah, they take, you know, their goal is to take money out of your pocket and put it into theirs. Generally speaking, I will say that there are quite a few fringe cases, but I mean, I'm talking like your, you know, standard broker situation.
Wow.
Right. Well, it's very, I mean, when you talk about money, right, everybody has ideas of what they do with money, how they would act. But when it comes to you and you already have an advantage, either taking less money or not getting, you know, like people's minds change and like, you know, it's just the way it is. Sure, it'd be great if it wasn't that way, but it's the truth. I mean, I know, as I say, the guy in Seattle that like took that big pay cut and this and that. And I know there's other stuff around it, but there's a few more companies that have done it now. But that, I mean, to their credit, that's very hard to do.
Dude, even that situation, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about, how do I want to say his name? Yeah, Dan Price.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about Dan Price from, he runs a company that's based over in Ballard that does, credit card processing. That story is pretty complex. I don't know if I remember all the details, but I believe his wife did a TED talk about being assaulted, and she didn't say his name, but said that essentially it was him, his brother. He pushed his brother out of the company, and then he took like a huge amount of pay, but then said he was only taking 75. And oh, he ended up doing the $75,000 thing. His brother claimed in a lawsuit, which his brother, I believe, won, that Dan was only taking $75,000 a year and giving $75,000 to everyone else so that he could get a bunch of publicity to go on a speaking tour, which he did, and made a couple million. So, you know, I would say even that situation is complex, but do your own research.
Right. But that's why I was trying to set it up that way. Like, I know there's other stuff with that case, but there's other companies that have done this kind of stuff. Now,
because yeah, in terms of that leak,
which is good and which is tough to do. It's also like I, you know, it's just tough, you know, but it's like I always say, that's why I always like the Peterbilt thing. Like you start on the line, you're going to end a millionaire. You got to give back.
Yeah. And you know, I would say the broad strokes. I totally agree that, you know, there's always a battle between capital and labor. And I think that it has gotten way too far out of hand, the power has swung way too far towards capital and away from labor. I mean, there was that story today about Amazon holding on to everyone's tips, which ended up being about $60 million for 2 years. And only when the FCC investigated did they relent and give the tips over. So, you know, if you're an Amazon driver, you don't have a ton of power over that company. And so it would be nice to see the pendulum swing back. Ted, I know you're an I always forget how to say it. The AFL-CIO.
AFL-CIO, American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations.
Yeah. Huh. So I know you're on that side, and that's, you know, I think, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I would say unions are a little bit antiquated, but also there's way too much power in the hands of capital right now in big businesses, and workers have no power. So we need to figure out some way to equalize that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the biggest thing, one of the biggest tricks they pulled over the wools of the eyes over everybody was that unions, people that weren't even in unions or whatever, and everybody just started going, oh, they're bad, they're this or that. It's like, all right, well, do you like the weekend, Saturday and Sundays off? You can thank a union member. You like a 40-hour work week? I mean, do we want to go back? You want to buy it from the company?
Safety regulations, workers' comp. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that all sprung out of like the robber barons of the 20s. I mean, you're talking like your Vanderbilts and Rothschilds and JP Morgan. Or no, sorry, what's the railroad guy? Jesus. Rockefellers taking advantage of American labor. You know, I mean, it wouldn't have happened if people weren't losing hands in factories and getting beaten into submission by anti-labor thugs, you know? Yeah, and that was all very real.
Yeah. So. All right. Speaking of having days off and holidays, I know we've talked about it before, but like, let's be honest here. Should the Monday after the Super Bowl be a national holiday?
Oh, that's what you were asking us about.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. That makes sense.
We have talked about it before. I believe my stance has been firm the entire time that it should be. You know, I don't eat into food comas very often, and I don't even drink, and I'm still like, yeah, of course it should be. I mean, like, we've created a holiday in spirit and in essence, but formally it's not recognized as such. And because of that, I think making the day after it the national holiday so everybody can just recover, clean up, do what they got to do to show up fresh on Tuesday is the most intelligent way to recognize it on an official national level.
Dude, Matt, I don't know how long we've been doing this podcast, 5 years. I think that is literally the most articulate thing I've ever heard you say on here. I don't know what you're eating. That was beautiful. That was like Supreme Court level, like here are the key pieces of this argument. I mean, seriously, I have nothing to add.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people will be like, well, I don't care about sports and this and that. And I'm always like, right, I get you. But it's one of the most widely viewed events in the world. Chances are, whether you care about football or not, granted, this is all pre or post COVID, like you're probably going to be invited over to somebody's house or something to watch it. Like, it's basically a winter holiday where people, you know what I mean? Like, the Super Bowl kind of establishes almost the end of dip season, you know?
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like, here's my, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so here's my question to you. If you have to cattle trade that holiday for another holiday, what do you get rid of? What are you swapping me for?
President's Day?
Here. I'm in.
Right. I mean, we already have President's Day is just like a Monday you get off in February, right? Like, so if you ski or snowboard, cool. But like, Matt, I don't know. Nobody's ever texted me and been like, yo, it's President's Day. Who's your favorite president?
Right.
Yeah, totally.
One time someone texted you and said, let's go to Leavenworth. And that was pretty dope. But
yeah, right.
Yeah. Other than that one year, President's Day has never been, you know what I mean? Like, it never comes close to the experience of the Super Bowl. And, you know, on an official legislative level, you got to think that there's unnecessary drunk driving happening that Sunday night because people know they got to be at work the next morning.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad thought at all. You're right. And yeah, and I was going to say, like, you already have a Monday sitting there, right? Like, Martin Luther King Jr., like, all right, that's a man that deserves a holiday. I get, you know what I mean? And like, that's a January holiday. So I get that one. But like, President's Day, it's like, because when I was a kid, you had Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday. And they're like, we'll just combine them into one day, which is like, cool. But I don't know. The Super Bowl to me, that just seems like everybody's hanging out, everybody's doing, you know, drinking or like Matt said, eating food. Like, let's give them a day off.
Yeah, that does feel right. I mean, even within the conversation of the national psyche, I get that a lot of people aren't into sports. I'm with you, Ted, but you know, it's a de facto holiday. It's beautiful that it's been created. Like, just let my people go, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say on the flip side of that, does the Fed come down on the NFL and be like, yo, will you play this bitch on Saturday already?
What, for the Super Bowl, you're saying?
Yeah, like, I get that, like, you know, there's a tradition, right? Friday nights are high school, Saturday are colleges, Sundays are the pros, right? It's Sunday. Apparently, you're supposed to get more viewers on Sunday night and stuff, but, like, you know, like, for us, it's not that bad. It starts at 3:30. You live on the East Coast, that game's supposed to start at 6:30. You probably won't kick till 6:45. Like, you're not going to be done till 10:30 at night.
Ted, you know, I agree with you on the holiday thing, but you more than anyone should know, we can't be playing the Super Bowl on a Saturday, man. I mean, you've said it, tradition. You know, Saturday is college. Those guys, they work 4 years in college to play on Sunday. You're going to take that back, take that away from them, put them back on Saturday? Come on, man.
Yeah, but college is already over at that point. We play playoff games on Saturday.
That's true. And they play playoff games, I feel like the NFL schedule has expanded. Like, when I was a kid, I feel like it was on Sundays they play. And then it was like, oh, pick up a Thursday night. And then, like, the occasional Monday night. And then, you know, like, now it's all over the map.
So the way it was you always had Sunday. It was always Sunday. And then Monday Night Football starts in, what, the 70s, I think? And then playing on Saturdays, the playoff games, that wasn't that unusual. Because once the college season was done, it was okay for the NFL. Like, basically, the NFL just didn't want to play on Saturdays because you don't want to take away from college.
Oh, I thought they ended up splitting so they'd play some of the games on Saturday and some on Sunday for the playoffs. So they make more money.
I know. I'm getting there. But what I'm saying is, okay, once the college season is done, tradition was you'd have NFL games on Saturday. And then when you got to the playoffs, it was you split them up so that you could have games on both days. So it's not basically, once college is done playing on Saturdays, it was like, all right, NFL, that's all you. So I don't think it's that crazy for them to be like Super Bowl Saturday.
You're on board with it now, Ted. I interpreted when you brought that idea up as, this isn't my idea, it's just a hypothetical that the government, instead of changing our holiday structure, would just strong arm the league. Not that it was you were signing off on Super Bowl Saturday, but you would be on board with that.
Oh, I'm 100% in.
I think I'm out for not necessarily against the idea of it being on Saturday, but against the idea of the government telling a private business that they should play their game on a Saturday. I'm just, the libertarian in me says, like, you know what? We're the NFL and we're going to play when we want to play. And, you know, well, I guess, dude, wow, I can't even be like, oh, Donald Trump has no power over it. He does, man. He's just relaxing in Florida. But yeah, I don't know, man. I think they should be allowed to play when they want to play. Let them boys play, man. Let the dogs eat.
I mean, you're not wrong. And I'm sure somebody can email us or whatever. I'm sure there's numbers behind it, but I would just like to see the reason. Like, why does it have to be on a Sunday? Like, let the people enjoy their Saturday. Let them sleep in the day after a Super Bowl. Unless they have kids, then they got to get up either way. But, you know.
Ted, that comment right there is spoken as a general behind the line, sitting on a horse, looking over the battlefield. But for somebody like me, I hear you say that, and I'm like, God, dude, some guy who's obsessed with the NFL and with data is going to send me an email that's like 14 pages long with diagrams saying why this shouldn't happen, why Ted's wrong, why he's an asshole, why I'm an asshole, why our email is like broken. And I just, like, man, you just don't understand up there on your horse what it's like down here in the trenches.
Well, I mean, listen, I go through the same thing with college football, too. Like, you play on Thursday nights and Saturdays, mainly Saturday. And then the national championship game is on a damn Monday night. Like, I don't want to watch that.
Ted, these things come into my personal account. They interrupt my regular day. Okay? I wake up to these emails. I go to sleep to these emails, man. Just stop poking these people. For my sake, dude. Seriously, someone is like pounding on the keys of their keyboard right now listening to you.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's, look, my head on the chopping block.
This goes to a deeper conversation I've had before about TV to begin with. Like, I get wanting to put stuff in prime time, but like, just feel like TV's changing with like people having the ability to watch whatever they want, whenever they want. Like, you're going to get emails. Do the numbers still support that we have to play these things on a weeknight in prime time?
Asynchronous. Dude, I mean, Ted, what you're talking about is anarchy. What, you want them to release the whole season like a Netflix series and I can just binge an NFL season in a day? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, no, that would be crazy. And keep the regular schedule. I'm just saying, the Super Bowl, man. Like, when the Seahawks this year, when that draw came out and they had a 1:45 playoff game on a Saturday, I was like, this is fucking amazing. This is what I want. And I said, like, I watched it with our buddy Sean. And I told Sean, I was like, listen, it's a Saturday. We got the grill going. I was like, whatever happens in this game, we're not going to get too mad because it's been a fun season. And like, and it's a Saturday.
That's true. That's why I do love that about college games. Like, there's a special kind of magic. Like, Saturday morning, that's the only thing going on, you know? Like, even you and I having those shots down on the subway platform, like, it's just a little lawless, you know? Like, Saturdays just feel good. Sunday, you have to start thinking about responsibility in the week. But Friday and Saturday always have that special energy.
Yeah, and like Saturday, I mean, you guys know, you've been to Husky games or Cougs game or whatever, college football game. Like, after the game, people are still partying. Hell, at the Naval Academy, they don't tailgate till after the game. But like, when you go to a Hawks game, it's a ton of fun. But like, when the game ends, like, you start looking at your watch, like, all right, now we're on the time schedule because like, we got to work tomorrow. So it's just different.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, thread a glass of water within those beers because, you know, the piper needs to be paid at some point. That bill's right. Coming due.
Or you just blow past that, and next thing you know, you're RIP, but you're sitting at Bill's, and it's 8 p.m. on a Sunday, and it's like, all right, I've got to get out of here.
How did this happen again?
Right? NFL football!
I mean, Ted, I can hear the panic in your voice, and I'm just like thinking back to like just how many memories that hits for you. Like, how many times you're like, God, they got me again.
Well, dude, like even yesterday, it was funny when I got to work. I was like feeling good on a Monday, and like why I missed having football on a Sunday. I was like, it's probably good. The season's about over. those Sundays are just like, well, it's gonna be one of those Sundays.
oh man
yeah, that is that. But with that said, I also know this Monday is going to be like, I don't feel great, I gotta do the show and get home and eat the rest of the leftovers.
I honestly hate to ask this after that segment. Is the Super Bowl this weekend?
Yes, it's Sunday.
Okay, cool. I wasn't sure if it was the one that just happened or it's coming.
Just in case nobody knows, it's the Kansas City Chiefs playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Or as some people are calling them, the Tom Brady Buccaneers.
Yeah, I heard that. Can we talk about that real quick? Did you? I thought Belichick was the magic in that relationship.
A lot of people did.
Where were you at on that?
All right, this is a tough one. I did always think it was about Belichick, but I also don't think one season's enough to determine what Belichick can do as a coach.
That's
right. It is kind of interesting that Tom Brady, now granted, he showed up to a team that had some weapons. Gronk came back. They have a great defense, but I don't know. It does kind of show to me that, like, I think in the end, it was probably the both of them together at the right time, but I think I probably was too far that it was all coaching in the Patriot way. Like, Tom Brady might have just been the Patriot way.
Well, dude, and when was the last time Tampa Bay was in a Super Bowl? Like, back in the Allstott days, maybe? I don't even know.
I think you're right. I think Allstott's on that team. John Gruden's coaching them.
I have no reason to, but I love Mike Allstott. I always have.
Well, the fullback is just a thing of the past, man.
Yeah, dude, Mac Strong. One of the most underrated players in the game, in my opinion. I mean, he blocked for like 9 1,000-yard rushers or something like that.
All right, 9 1,000. It's like a 9,000-yard rusher. That's got to
be. No. Like in subsequent years. And you know what? If I'm wrong, don't email me. I don't care.
The guy didn't know the Super Bowl was this weekend. Like, what are you getting mad at him about?
Yeah.
I know, Cobb, I was going to ask you what you're doing for the Super Bowl, but I'm guessing you don't have plans quite yet since you didn't know what was happening.
Dude, you know, I'll say this. So for people who don't know, I'm back down in Austin. Pool party season. So they have a bunch of rooftop decks with pools. Pool party season doesn't start till the 15th. Otherwise, that's what I would be doing. I might go. There's a Seahawks bar downtown called Lil Woodrow's. I might hit that up. Not sure. But that's about it.
Huh. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing too, right? If you live in Austin or like, that's part of the reason I think Southern California is never like the craziest fan bases for footballs, because it's nice out. You can go to the beach and do stuff. But like the Northeast is covered in snow. Matt and I were talking. It is just crazy storms up here in the Northwest. It's like, people are home. Let them get f***ed up on a Saturday, Goodell.
Jeez. Yeah, dude, look at the... Yeah, exactly. Look at the fan base. It's like Bills Mafia does not work if it's in the Florida Keys. Okay. Like the Green Bay Packers fan base is not running rampant in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Like it's warm.
Seen that people Miami Dolphins stadium pretty empty a lot of times.
Same with San Diego back in the day, man. The Chargers.
Right. Dude, speaking of Southern California, right? So the first weekend in May, like around Cinco de Mayo, is always a huge sports weekend for the spring. You run the Kentucky Derby. There's always a huge boxing match. And then generally, I think there's something, there might be a decent golf tournament too. But the first time I've ever been to Orange County, I'm down visiting a girl in Dana Point. And I remember before I talked to her, I was like, hey, like, can we make sure we watch the Derby? And I want to go to a bar to watch this fight. Once I got down there, it was like, fuck that noise. We were drinking sangria on a rooftop bar in Laguna Beach. She was like, don't you want to go watch those sports? I was like, I don't care.
Dude, that paradigm has been shattered. I'm living in a whole new world. There's a lot of blondes and bikinis and opportunities.
Yeah. Well, I remember the bartender. I was like, what is that? He's like, sangria. And I was like, and I look at the girl I'm with, I'm like, can I order a sangria? And he's like, a Hawaiian dude. He goes, Laguna Beach, brah. Get the sangria. And I was like, you know what? You're right.
It's like, give me two.
Oh, you know I had at least two. Out of a big wine glass.
Malibu Smith. I love it.
For the record, if nobody's ever been there, go to Orange County. And Laguna Beach is really expensive, but go there and get a drink, get a meal. It is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen on Earth. All right. Well, there's the sales pitch for Orange County, but we still have to do a real commercial break. All right. Did you, sticking with a little bit of sports here, did you guys see the exchange last night between the blonde woman and LeBron James in Atlanta?
Nope.
No.
Oh. So when I texted you guys courtside Karens, you had no idea what I was talking about.
Nope.
I just assumed you were talking about the number of Karens that are running rampant in this country and need to be stopped.
So, like, I just saw the highlight last night, and it's like, LeBron James, so Atlanta has some fans there, right? So they're sitting courtside, and you just see this blonde woman going off, right? And like throwing her hand, this and that. So then her and her husband end up getting ejected. And then after the game, she starts posting Instagram videos, and she's like, I'm only 25. Like, I'm not a gold digger. Like, I stood up for my man. Her husband's 60. I stood up for my man. But like, she's on the court. You're going to have to bleep a lot of this, Matt. She's on the court. I guess the husband said something to LeBron James. LeBron James says something back to him. And then she's like, you're not going to talk to my husband that way. And like, I'll fuck you up. And it's like, you're talking to a man that's 6'8", 200, like what, 60 pounds of just raw steel. Like, and this woman is like, looks like a toothpick with two giant cherries on the front end.
Jesus.
Yeah, and it just, I don't know, like, Matt, I think all of us have sat courtside, but it's like at an NBA game, when you're courtside, like, they can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, they can. Dude, that sounds so cool just to hear. Like, I think all of us have sat courtside.
Yeah.
Mine was a fluke, and my ticket ended up being free, to be clear.
I got Tony Parker to smile. He was shooting free throws, and I yelled that I fantasized about his wife. And he, like, while he was in his little pre-shot routine, and I just saw him crack a smile, like, oh, damn, he heard that. Like, yeah, he's 20 feet away, dude.
Definitely hear you.
And especially in a stadium with like reduced capacity.
Right. So the best one I had was sitting courtside, and Grant Hill is like right in front of me, and he played at Duke, and he's about to inbound the ball, and I just couldn't help myself, so I go, "Go Terps!" And he like stops, and he looks at me, he goes, "Go home," and just like starts. But right, if you've sat, and most people have never sat up there, but it's a super cool experience and everything. It's like they can hear you. Number two, it's an empty arena, and it's like Matt has a story, I have a story where it's like you're kind of talking to him, but nothing terrible. Like I feel like if LeBron James stops, like I don't know what you said, but you caught his attention. And to LeBron's credit, he said after the game, he's like, "They shouldn't have been ejected. Like there's two guys getting into it, and then she jumped in." He was kind of laughing about it. But he tweeted out after the game, "Courtside Karen was mad.
Damn. Dude, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that was some of it too, is like, you got to have respect for people. Like they're athletes, but they're not like, I don't know. They're not like your animals. Like, you know, I think people need to be a little responsible with what they say to pro athletes.
Oh yeah, dude, that always gets me how like fans of an opposing squad will just be going off on someone and trying to use like, you know, very personal details that they've learned from the internet to, you know, get inside that person's head. And it's just like, you know, I think there's just a line. Like it's cool when it's like fun and upbeat, but you know, they got to go home after the game and cry themselves to sleep just like anybody else. So I don't know. Seems like sometimes it's way too much.
Right. I mean, Spike Lee is one of the most famous people to ever sit courtside, right? He's had courtside seats at the Knicks for years. And like him and Reggie Miller going back and forth. So it's like, I think they don't mind you, you know, engaging, but that one just caught me. And then that woman can't weigh more than 115 pounds. You'll see a picture of her. And it's just like, you're yelling at LeBron James, "I'm going to fuck you up, bitch."
She's 24 and her husband's 60.
She's 25. The husband is 60. And it's like a realist. So then she was all mad. It's in the comments. Everybody's like, "You're just a gold digger." And she's like, "If I was a gold digger, I wouldn't have stood up for my man." I mean, the dude's credit. He looks phenomenal for 60. But, you know, coming from a guy in a gold jacket, like you're not.
Well, yeah, he's got the fountain. He's, yeah, fucking the fountain of youth every night.
You're not going to get it. And it's like she's and I don't mind plastic parts, but I mean fake boobs, fake lips, like people were just like, "You're 25?" Like everybody was kind of shocked she was that young.
Boys, you know, yeah, I don't know what to say. Yeah, okay. You know, here's what I want to say. Okay. How young was Steve Carroll Pete Carroll looking up until like 3 years ago? And how long was he a coach at USC, one of the most attractive student bodies in the country? Okay. Fountain of youth.
Real thing.
I'm not accusing him of doing anything. I'm saying even just being around that, like, you know, that young feminine energy is going to keep him young.
Yeah. I think I was just more blown away by her reaction. Like, I don't know. Like, what are you really going to do?
Yeah, seriously. But, you know, the flip side is also true. Like, what's LeBron going to do? I mean, he's on national TV.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's not like LeBron James is going to do anything like that. I guess he was having words with the husband and just told her, like, "Sit down." And she was like, I'll beat your ass. And I guess that to me, I mean, that's just anything that crosses a line. I mean, you see it in bars sometimes, right? You know, I've seen... Hell, I've been with a girl that's like threatening a dude. And I'm like, "Will you shut up?" It's like, "I'm going to have to answer for this."
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That bill's coming due and you're writing checks that my body can't cash. And what was I going to say? Oh, also, man, credit to LeBron. I got to say, every athlete at that level has had some sort of a major scandal. And that dude, to his credit, from like 14 years old, 15, when he became famous, he has walked the line and we have never had like a massive scandal.
No, not at all. Yeah.
He's like really cool. Like, I don't know. It just, Russell Wilson is like so clean cut, and like LeBron always seemed like a cool ass dude, like, and yeah, never got in any trouble that like at any level. I was almost gonna say any major trouble, but it's like, just yeah, it's amazing the level he's played at all these years.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd say bad about LeBron is he's just not that funny.
Like, that's true.
Yeah.
Like the Taco Tuesday stuff and everything, I was like, eh, that ain't that funny. But he's also like one of the most famous athletes in the world. So I don't think he minds that he's not the funniest guy in the room. Now, granted, he's also LeBron James. If he's at a shoot around and he tells a joke, everybody's going to laugh.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's not just, I've seen it with dudes too. Like I have some friends that work in bars and stuff that are very large men, and they'd be like, you'd be shocked at like the smaller guys that give me the most trouble. And I'm just like, why? You know,
it's like small dogs.
Yeah.
Not the yappiest, most aggressive dogs, like the Chihuahuas and like tiny dogs.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm not tall. I'm just saying, like, I don't know why you'd pick on a giant. LeBron James is a giant.
Yeah,
you're feeling way too comfortable. Also, LeBron's credit, he was like, A, I don't think they should have been kicked out, and he was like, B, he goes, sometimes when people are sitting courtside, like, he goes, like, we're playing, I don't get alcohol. He's like, I think they might have had some alcohol. And I was like he wasn't like they're wasted, he's just like, I'm not drinking. So when you talk trash to me, you're just gonna get a normal reaction of like, what?
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, when you're done, if you haven't seen it, you got to look up this girl. It was a whole hashtag of,
and the mics.
What's that?
The TV mics like picked up the exchange.
No, it's not. Just remember, like, there's hardly anybody there, so the TV just kind of shows it. But then she hopped right on Instagram and just started posting videos and was like, "F him," and then came back like an hour later and was like, I stand up for my man. I'm not a gold digger. And it's like, you know what? To her credit, probably not. But it's just tough when you're like the blonde woman with the fake parts. Your attractive husband is 60 and a millionaire. You're like, I'm not a gold digger. It's like, I hear you. I want to believe you. Just telling you how it looks.
My heart wants to believe you, okay, but my mind can't.
The Ted, shoe I typed fits C, remarkably yeah. well.
Yeah, and it's expensive. Ted, I typed C-O-U, and it was just like, boom, like 20 courtside Karen articles.
Right. Like, cause some people were like,
Juliana Carlos.
Yeah, some people were like, LeBron shouldn't engage with them. And I'm like, well, we don't know what was said initially.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here, then we'll come back with some emails. All right, well, I guess it's about that time for some emails.
What's up, boys? Back to Basics 2021. BTB 2021, or Back to Basics for me, means two hands on the stick and keep your stick on the ice. Mark Bond, the Zamboni driver.
Fundamentals.
I like that. I like that. It's working on the jab today on the heavy bag.
Nice. I got hockey on mute right over there.
Hey guys, just wanted to give a quick update after my last email on the struggle to get back to basics. After a discussion with some coworkers, I found out that wearing a face covering when you exercise outside will help prevent feeling that your lungs are going to freeze. I have so far been consistently working out every day, and I have felt 1,000 times better. I told you in the past that I had lost 45 pounds in the last year, but never put together that exercising has become so essential in my life. My husband even commented that I seem to be feeling better. I don't want to take up too much of your time, but again, just wanted to say thank you. Jess, SLC.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think, Cobb, I think it's, is it your comment or your quote? I don't know. Like, nobody ever finishes a workout and says, I feel worse.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing I would say is, like, number one cure for depression, cardio. B2B, boys. Hola, guys. What does back to basics mean to me? It's me bringing myself back to reality, focusing on my goals, staying humble, and above all, having faith in my higher self. 2021 is off to a good start in terms of personal growth. I read the first book I've read in 8 years, and it's drastically improved my mental health and my outlook on life. A couple years ago, you guys recommended The Power of Concentration, and recently a coworker of mine did too. I picked it up one day and couldn't put it down. It's helped me to analyze my thoughts and actions and encouraged me to continuously strive to live up to the higher self within. It's given me meaning and purpose behind my everyday actions and helped me to identify and eliminate some of my bad habits. 2020 brought me a child, a fiance, and the first year ever where I worked just one job. 2021 begins a new chapter. Let's get back to basics, boys, and read some more shit. Currently reading Ego is the Enemy, super open to any suggestions, gain purpose, stay humble. Fry, a.k.a. Paper Fry. Oh, Papa Fry.
Tell you what, Papa Fry, your basics are about to change. Like that, he's like, I gotta get back to basics. Like, you got a little baby there. Like, the basics are gonna be changed. That's a fluid basic.
Yeah, true. Dude, Ego is the Enemy is pretty good. I'm a Ryan Holiday fan for sure. He's an Austin guy. I haven't read The Power of Concentration, so I'm guessing Matt maybe recommended it.
I was gonna say the same thing about you.
Oh, well, I just threw it in my Amazon thing. I'm gonna buy it tomorrow. I don't know. It's possible that I read it at some point, but
what are we talking about?
For other book recommendations?
The Power of Concentration
book. Yeah, was that a Ted Smith reco?
Sorry, that was a bad joke.
No, it was a good one.
Ted, you got any book recommendations for homeboy?
I do not.
I came up with a bad joke in this grocery store the other day. What's Flava Flav's favorite seed?
Favorite seed?
Seed.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, boy.
All right. That's a deep one, but I like it. Chia boy.
Dude, Fry, I might go with The Way of the Superior Man. I don't know. Different books hit at different times for different people. You might be beyond it. I don't know. It hit for me pretty well at the time. You could try that one out. Just read the first, you know, couple chapters, and if it's calling to you, great. And if not, you know, c'est la vie. But it's a good level up book.
Yeah. The best book for self-improvement. That's a interest. Not that he specifically asked for that. I really like 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. That was one that
sequel's
I...
Sequel's coming out in March.
Yeah, it's a big book. I didn't finish the last chapter, but I made it most of the way through it. I just like got within 40 pages and was like, I think I'm good on this, which is pretty wild. But I got a lot out of it. And it was like, damn, I got to get to work on this stuff and hold myself accountable, clean my damn room, which I still haven't really taken to heart. But yeah, a lot of
number 12, finish what you start.
God damn it. I hope that's not what that was.
I'm just kidding.
I was like, you didn't finish the end of the book?
Nope. I got into the
11 rules for life
and was like,
I'm an 11 and a half rules guy. You know?
Yeah. There's no rules. There's one rule.
You guys talked about, this is a new email. You guys talked about trolling friends. I'm a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and one of my best friends is a Chicago Cubs fan. I bought his 2-year-old daughter a bunch of Cardinals stuff. Then a few years later, I bought them both Cubs jerseys. Love the show. Glad you guys are still at it. George.
Yeah, that's pretty good troll. That's solid. Like, I don't know. That's pretty good. Seeing like your buddy's baby wearing like your team's colors like that. That's awesome.
Dude, that runs deep. That's solid.
Yeah, I was like, I'd buy something for Barrett that's like Husky stuff, but I value my life.
You got to wait till he's like old enough to complain to want it. Like he's like, oh, my new jersey. I want to wear my new jersey. You know what I mean? Where like they can't take it away from him.
I will say you got to induct him early though. Like my niece and nephew, like when they were little kids, I started hitting them with Sounders gear and they're still like Sounders fans to this day.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
This is about the cop topic. Pick a button. Do you guys remember what I think it was? You're in a room, you die, and there's three buttons. It's like
next level, just watch it, or restart.
Yep.
That's right. Yep. Nice. Great question, Cobb. It led to a lot of reflective thinking about one's life. For me, what's next? I've raised four kids, all very successful in their lives, and are the type of people that would give you the shirts off their back. I've led a good life and worked with thousands of people, and I think I left a positive influence on the majority of them. If I may pose a question back to you, you can go back to be a spectator on one thing from your past. It's literally you watching you. You can't influence or change the outcome of the event. You just get to watch it unfold. For me, this is tough. Can't pick a kid being born. There's four of them. Diplomatic. Nice, dude. Perhaps something from playing soccer, skiing, or other activities? Nope. High school graduation 1982 wins out. I was not a great student. I have dyslexia and a few other learning issues. I was in special classes to help my freshman sophomore year. However, I wanted to be in normal classes and didn't like getting teased for being in the other classes. So I struggled to pass the regular classes, right down to the wire on if I would graduate. Also, the first 3 years, I wasn't a very popular kid either. My senior year, I got to know several of the most popular kids, or should I say they got to know me. My senior yearbook is full of, man, I wish I had gotten to know you sooner type comments. Right after graduation, my parents, friends' parents, and teachers all told me they couldn't believe how many people yelled, clapped, and cheered when I received my diploma. They all told me it was one of the loudest reactions of the night. I didn't hear a thing. Crossing the stage was just a blur. It honestly brings tears to my eyes now, almost 40 years later. How many people were so proud that cheered, and I can't remember that moment. Have a great week, fellas. Thank you again for bringing a slice of the Pacific Northwest to me. The old dude stuck in Minneapolis. Cheers, Stan. P.S. Back to basics for me is getting back to the Pacific Northwest.
All right. All right. I'm glad that our Stan's not a real Stan.
You guys want one more?
Yeah, give us one more. We got time.
Hey, gents. A couple of... wait, what am I... All right. Well, I don't know if this person is real or not, but their Google email photo is very attractive, Ted. I'm going to say it's a redhead with some tattoos. Hey, gents, a couple of Cobb topics ago, Cobb asked what back to basics mean to you. Mine is pretty literal. Some backstory. At the end of 2018, I started running and turned from a lifelong running hater that couldn't run a minute to being addicted to it. In 2019, I ran at least one race a month, including two half marathons. Felt great, looked great. In January 2020, I injured my hip, and it took over 5 months to feel comfortable running again. Managed to squeak out a full marathon on my 30th birthday in June by doing intervals. But after that, I couldn't get back into the habit. With everything going on in 2020, I lost motivation and gained a ton of weight. My back to basics is running, building endurance intervals to get back to and exceed where I once was. I woke up at 5 a.m. this morning and busted out the first run of the week, a 5K. Cheers, Orpheus. P.S. I've attached a photo of my medal wall. Most of those medals were earned in 2019. 30 medals in all.
Wow.
Damn. Boys, I should screen share you this. That honestly is a pretty impressive wall. And the sign above it says Run Bitch Boulevard. That's awesome. Very cool.
Hang on. I'll allow screen multiple. All right, there you go.
Are you guys looking at my screen right now?
No, you got to click something.
Oh, yep. Okay. Now are you guys looking at my screen?
Damn.
Wow. That's a lot of medals.
Run Denmark. Bitch Boulevard. I like it.
Yeah, look at those freaking things, man. That's a lot of hardware. Nice
Denmark.
Work.
From Lake Washington to Denmark. That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm seeing America's Sweetest Race. Yeah, the Denmark one. I see a Lake Washington one down here. My Journey one.
That's pretty impressive.
Dude, that's pretty impressive. Yeah, seriously.
I also like how she's like, all right, I guess I'll get in the first run of the year. And it's like a 5K. Like, I think you'll get back to where you were pretty quickly.
Yeah,
most people I know have to work up to a 5K.
Yeah.
Hold up. Ted, I'm going to screen share you again because you got to get a load of the photo. Are you able to see that?
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
Not bad. Ted is conspicuously silent on that topic. All right.
He's a fan of the men's room. Pretty sure she called in last week talking about her husband, trying to be cool about it.
Hey, man, someone can still be beautiful if they've got a husband.
All right. Let's check in with what's mad.
Hey,
what's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Before we get to what's mad,
hey, what's good? What's mad?
Whoa.
Check out what's mad.
Hey, what's good? What's
maddening? Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's
maddening? Check out with what's maddening.
All right. It was a good week here on quarantine. I launched Nutrition Made Fun. That was just really awesome. I got the podcast listeners, so thanks. And I'm really excited about how it's going, getting some early feedback, and yeah, it's very good. Apparently my colors were a little more fun in the selection. I needed to have them be a little bit easier to read on the eyes, but you know, different resolution. So figuring out some details, but overall very excited about where things are at and where they're headed. And man, yeah, I didn't realize how long I was working on that. I started that before I left for the desert. Like so this has been like months in the making, and having it all come to fruition was definitely really cool. And it was extra dope. Two people signed up while I was out in the simulator, just hitting golf balls. And then I got like two different PayPal notifications, like you just made money, which just was awesome. And I was, because I shot the whole thing out there. Everything I filmed like against that backdrop, and now I'm here just blasting balls at Spanish Bay with my buddy John came over, who's I've talked about him here before because he like reached out to me because he listened to the podcast and he used to work at Redmond Ridge. And he's really good at golf, so it's fun to watch him swing, and he also gives me helpful stuff because he's like way nerdier about golf than me. It's just been a solid week. And while John was here, tried the new stuffed crust pizza from Papa John's.
Oh, dude. They have stuffed crust now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just jumped into the game, man.
Wow.
They jumped into the game and they changed it. Like, yeah, I mean, Pizza Hut's been at it for years. You know, they invented it, and then you know what comes after invention is innovation, and somehow, yeah, Papa John's just knocked it out of the park. So I was also eating stuffed crust pizza while I was getting payments for my new nutrition course. Another way of telling that story.
The tangled webs we weave.
Yeah.
I reference stuffed crust a lot throughout it. That's a very worthwhile thing to eat. That was a big thing. Ted, have you tried it yet?
I have not. The Papa is not too close to the hood.
Oh, okay. Cool. Good to know.
Pizza Vortex downtown.
Interesting. Do they have Papa John's down in Austin, Cobb?
Hell yeah, dude. As soon as you said it, I was like, all right, I'm in. Yeah, because right. Most places I've lived in Seattle, you can't get it. So,
okay.
Very pumped.
Yeah, so I got to just give a raving review to them jumping in. And yeah, it's amazing. And it comes with the garlic sauce. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I will say though, it's kind of funny. Like, they're taking the stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, but I've noticed like Pizza Hut, Domino's, everybody has the garlic butter now.
That's a good point. Yeah.
That was an innovation. I'm a ranch guy now, too. It sounds like it'd be terrible on pizza, but it's so good.
Well, ranch is great on pizza and the crust, but I don't know. It's hard for me to beat that garlic butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know that it can be beat. And, you know, I remember joking a long time ago. I was probably pretty high, you know, but about like what we got to do is we got to go to Pizza Hut, get the stuffed crust, and then go to Papa John's and get the garlic sauce and combine these worlds. Like, oh, thank you, Papa John's, for stepping up and, you know, making that a lot easier for me.
Dude, I'm embarrassed to say, but AC and I did something similar. We went to Papa John's to get a bunch of sauces and then went to Costco for a pizza. Worth it.
I have ordered wings and breadsticks from Pizza Hut and then a pizza from Pagliacci one night. Hey, dude, it worked. I got laid that night.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know why you said you're embarrassed, Cobb. Like, I'd be proud of that. That sounded very smart to me. This is why I'm.
God, dude, that should be a Cobb topic one of these weeks. Is like, what's like just the trashiest meal you've eaten? You know? It's not this week.
Okay, well,
we'll get there. I'm not ready to share those secrets.
All right, well.
All right. I was like, all right, Matt, anything else? Like, nope. He's making money on fitness, swinging golf clubs, and eating stuffed crust pizza.
It's good life over here, man. Can't complain.
That's a hell of a life.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time, then.
Boo, Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
This week, boys, we're talking CIA disclosures. You know how like there's that, man, I know so little about this, I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but there's like something within, you know, the Freedom of Information Act or whatever, that documents that were formerly classified after 50 years or something get declassified. Some of the stuff related to the Kennedy assassination, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I kind of, you know, obviously Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I was kind of just thinking about how that whole thing went down and, you know, how they never really said what happened, you know, who killed Martin Luther King Jr. But then there was the civil trial, so for people who don't know, there's a criminal trial and there's a civil trial. And the civil trial, the judge said that, I believe it was the CIA had killed him and awarded a bunch of money. Is that accurate, Ted?
I believe FBI.
What, FBI?
Are you sure about that? I'm pretty sure the guy that shot Martin Luther King Jr. is in jail.
Let's see. Lloyd Jowers, American Civil Suit, Unknown Conspirators. Oh, man. We really are a wealth of misinformation. Let's see if this guy was connected.
Yeah, it was James Earl Ray. He shot MLK Jr., dude. That sounds like it's
shot by James Earl Ray. Yeah, so...
Now, if you're asking,
I'm trying to see if
there was other people involved, that's fair. But I'm like,
yeah, right. Was he connected with like the FBI or the CIA or made to do that on their behalf or no?
Well, I mean, he said all that.
I want answers.
Well, hang on, you're throwing around conspiracies, which are tough to give straight answers to. Now, he said he was involved after he was convicted and was spending his life in prison without a possibility of parole.
Yeah, it looks like there's some, okay, I'll say this. It looks like on his Wikipedia page, there's some conspiracy allegations. Obviously, I should have researched this ahead of time and I didn't. So people just have to read it there because I have no idea what happened. But all of that luckily is beside the point for this Cobb topic. That was just an example I picked out of thin air. What's that?
Go with crack. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Just look up CIA, crack cocaine, the Contras.
Okay. Well, I guess one I could use is some of the ideas put forward by Nikola Tesla or anyone who was ahead of their time. And long story short, boys, the Cobb topic is who was crazy until it turned out they were right all along. Email us at thepodcast.com. Literally the word email at thepodcast.com. Who was crazy until it turned out they were right all along? It could be something as simple as the guy who discovered that the large and regular size beers at Seahawks games were actually the same size, or anything else you can think of.
I'm probably going to think of a better one in 2 hours, but the super obvious one right in front of me is Tom DeLonge, or DeLong, however the hell you say his last name, from Blink-182, who I think he left the band to go like research UFOs. I think that was why he left, or maybe after he left, he got really into UFOs. But he's been screaming about UFOs for over a decade now. And there's a lot of confirmations of UFOs from the government in the past year or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that one's a good one. I try to shy away from too many crazy conspiracies. Like, some of them, years later, because of the Information Act, you find out like who was involved, so they're not completely crazy, and you find out they're like huge organizations. But I don't know, I think on a lesser, I can't name one guy. I just remember seeing a special probably 20 years ago about gluten. This guy was like, gluten's the enemy and gluten this, and I remember being like, that guy's a fucking whack job. But now, like, I don't know, I feel like so many people I know are like, I can't have gluten, like this and that. So I'm like, I don't know who that guy was, but he obviously knew something. Now, does everybody have celiac disease? I don't know. But there's a lot of gluten-free products, and gluten's out.
Dude, if this podcast was a movie, it would flash back right now to you eating the original stuffed crust pizza from Pizza Hut, watching that and be like, this guy's out of his mind.
Yeah, right?
80s Ted. Yeah.
It's like one of those shows. I was just like, what is this guy talking? He's like, gluten.
I'm picturing you in one of those like 90s like nylon jumpsuits. You're just like, this guy's out of his damn mind.
Cobb, do you have one?
Mine was the Seahawks guy, and then obviously knowing nothing about Martin Luther King Jr. Who else was right all along? Dude, the guy with the what's it called? The windshield wipers, saying that, like, you know, all the automakers ripped him off and that was his idea. Turned out to be right, but, you know, almost lost everything over it. Let's see. I mean, it's tough to go against what other ones are saying. I mean, Martin Luther, pretty obviously. You know, I would go with like Galileo, you know, saying that we're not the center of the universe. So those are some bold predictions, but I don't know. I like someone closer to home, like the Seahawks beer guy.
Yeah, that beer one was a massive deal. It's like everybody's a bigger beer, and it's like, it's the same amount of beer. Like, you gotta be kidding me. Head's gotta roll.
Dude, and that's the thing. Imagine how many of those games that guy went to where he's like, dude, Jason, look, it's the same. It has to be. And he's like, no, man, they wouldn't do that. They can't do that. It's not legal. And he's like, dude, I'm telling you, bro, it is. Then he brings another person to the game. He's like, same thing. So, you know, it was the season ticket holder who gets them all the time. And finally he's like, you know what? I'm getting an empty cup. I'm going to prove this right now. And then he does it. Like, his little group around him goes fucking wild. Sorry, Matt. And yeah.
Well, that's like,
when the conspiracy got exposed.
I mean, this is what's great about a can of beer. Whether you're at a game, excuse me, as I burp, whether you're at a game or at a restaurant or at a bar getting drinks, like, you never know how strong or weak a drink's going to be. You never know how it's going to be mixed. You get a can of beer, you're getting 12 ounces, you know the percentage of the beer, you know what you're getting.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of this, hope everybody enjoys the Super Bowl this Sunday. The Super Bowl is on. other than that, we'll be back next week. I'll be recovered from the Super Bowl because it's on a damn Sunday. People got to work on Mondays. Anyhow. For MCTV, for Cobb, I'm Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.